Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Genesis chapter 3, I'll let you remain seated because I'm probably going to make some statements as I read through this. But the Bible said this, Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1, and the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now let me just say something in passing right here. That's what Satan is a mastermind at doing tonight, and that is questioning the word of God. He never said God did not say that. He sowed doubt in her mind, and probably Sunday night I'm going to deal with this some more, more in depth on that, but he sowed doubt into her mind and caused her to question what God had said. Verse number 2 said this, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. He told them they couldn't eat of it. Now he is already causing her to question what God really said. He goes on to say in verse number 3, or verse number 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, I want to talk to you a little while tonight about sin. Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful weather outside. Father, thank you, Lord, for God, the privilege and the opportunity to come into your house and to worship you again tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us for a little while as we look into your word. God, I pray, Lord, that we would get understanding from it. God, we'll give you praise for it. Help those in Discovery Bible Club tonight and use them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Again, we're going to talk about sin a little bit tonight. As we begin to think about that, I would say this to you tonight. Sin is to blame for all the suffering and the sorrow that's in our world today. Sin is to blame for all the death that's in our world today. Sin is to blame for all the disease that is in our world today. All of it can be traced back to Genesis chapter number 3 and Adam and Eve sinning in the garden. Men sometimes disagree on what sin is or what sin is not. But can I say something to you tonight? It doesn't matter what I think sin is or what I don't think sin is. It matters what the Bible says about sin. So let's take a minute and look into the Bible and see what the Bible says sin is before we talk about the doctrine of sin. There are several different things. Let me show you a few of them out of the New Testament. I'm not going to take time to turn to these tonight, but according to Romans chapter 14, verse number 23, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. James chapter 4, verse number 17 said this, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So in other words, if we know what we're supposed to do and we don't do it, then it's sin. Leslie and I was talking today, and we was talking about sin in general. We was talking about different things, and you know what? There's some things that we know is wrong. It's just evident that's wrong. But there's also things that's wrong that people have never been taught that it's wrong. Are you understanding what I'm saying right there? But the Bible said this, if we know to do good and we do it not, then it's sin tonight. Here's also what the Bible said in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 4. Sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John 5:17 said this, all unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. So there's a few things that the Bible talks about as being sin tonight. Let me show you a few things about sin tonight. Number one, right here out of Genesis chapter number 3, note this with me tonight, the entrance of sin. Where did sin come from? How did sin get into the world? The entrance of sin tonight. In Genesis chapter number 3, we have the story of what God is doing. And chapter number 2, creation. Chapter 1 and 2 is creation. Now chapter number 3, Adam and Eve is walking in the cool of the day. But the serpent allows Satan to use him to speak through. And because of that, now sin enters in to the world. Now, I said this on Sunday morning, and I'll say it again. Matter of fact, I've done devotions on it today at the sheriff's office. The Lord has never spoke to us in an audible voice. Can I say that again? The Lord has never spoke to us in an audible voice. For the Lord to speak to you in a quote-unquote audible voice, he has to have an instrument to speak through. Can I get a witness right there? You ever left and go, man, I'm telling you right now, at church, God, help me. He spoke to me. How did he speak to you? He spoke to you through the preaching of his word. Satan also has never spoken an audible voice himself. Something or someone, some creature or creation had to allow Satan to speak through them. In Genesis chapter number 3, Satan speaks in an audible voice. How does he do it? He does it through a serpent. There was an audible voice that came out of that serpent that day. You say, preacher, do you really believe that? Well, Eve heard it. Amen. Eve heard it. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying to you tonight. You're either going to allow God to speak through you or you're going to allow Satan to speak through you. Be careful who you're lending yourself to be an instrument. Amen. So Satan has used the body of the serpent to speak to Adam and Eve. And because of that, now they hear Satan and they fall to Satan and sin enters into the world. I thought about this. We can talk about the fact of creation here in Genesis chapter number 2 and Genesis chapter number 3. But not only can we talk about the fact of creation, and here's what I want to look at for just a minute. We can look at the fall of the creatures. The fact of creation is this, that in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth. Not just the heavens and the earth, but the sea and the mountains and all of creation that we enjoy today in 6 literal 24-hour days, God created that. On the 7th day, we know he done what? He rested. But when we go on to read and we go on to study those creatures and man being created, then we are a creature tonight. There is the fall of the creatures tonight. Yes, there was the creation of man, but there is also the fall of man. What happened in Genesis chapter number 3? Here's what happened. Adam and Eve listened to Satan more than they listened to God. That's just as simple as I can put it. God had said do this, Satan had said do this, and you know what happened? They listened to Satan over God. What did Satan do? See, this has always been Satan's method. He attacked the Word of God. If God's Word says it, that settles it, man. And if it says not to do it, we better stay away from it, amen. So we see this, the entrance of sin. Where did sin come from? It come from Genesis chapter number 3. It come from Adam and Eve and them falling in the garden. And we know because of that, now there is the effects of sin. Not only the entrance of sin tonight, but note this with me, the effects of sin. What does sin cause? What is the effect? I thought about this. whenever you get a medicine or the doctor prescribes you something, one of the first things that I always do is ask what the effects are. And can I just say something? You better not Google anything you're taking, because you're going to die if you do, all right? Every medicine, a baby aspirin will kill you. There's always that 0.00000000001% that it affects. And every time I read that, I start having that effect, Dakota. I'm a hypochondriac, they say. I start having that effect. What is the effects of sin entering our world today? Well, let's take a minute and look at it tonight. The sin of Adam and Eve brought the judgment of God upon all creation. This is what is referred to as the fall of man. A thorough study of Genesis 3 will show that God pronounces judgment upon the serpent, upon Eve, upon Adam, and upon the animal kingdom, upon the vegetable kingdom, and upon the ground itself. He placed the entire creation under a curse because of the sin of Adam and Eve, of Adam and Eve. I know that Eve sinned first, but they was one flesh and Adam sinned also. A lot of times we want to blame it on Eve, us men do, but it was Adam and Eve both, and they sinned, the both of them. There's a lot that can be said there. I'm not going to say a lot, but I will say this in passing. You'll never sin by yourself and get by with it just affecting you. It will always affect others. It not only affected Eve, it affected Adam. It not only affected Adam, it now affects you and I today. Sin always affects somebody else besides just you. But think about this. There is a curse now because of that. In Genesis chapter 3, verse number 14, God cursed the serpent. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. That is the curse upon the serpent. Now here's just something to think about. I don't know, okay? I can't give you the answer to this. But was the serpent walking in the first part of chapter number 3? Because he's cursed to the ground, and because he is referred to with the beast and the cattle of the field. Could it be that the snake in the very beginning, and again, I'm just giving you something to think on tonight. We don't know for certain. I do know this, he's cursed to his belly. We do know he did talk audibly. And we do know that he is cursed to the belly right here. So it could have been he's referred to as more subtle than any beast of the field. It could be that there was something different there, but we see the curse of the serpent. Now, note this with me. He not only pronounces a curse on the serpent, the effects of sin. He then pronounces the curse upon the woman in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible said this. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now ladies don't like that verse, but it's what the Bible said. That's part of the curse, is you being in subjection to your husband and your husband ruling over you. It's in the Bible. Don't get mad at me. I'm reading you the Bible, okay? It's what he said right there. Verse number 17, he curses Adam. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. He goes on into verse number 18, and curses the ground. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou shalt return unto the ground, For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. There is where death is promised to man because of the sin. What is the effects of sin tonight? It's death. That is, for the wages of sin is death. The entrance of sin was through Adam and Eve. The effects of sin is all of the world is now cursed because of it. I want to show you something, though, and I can't take time on this or I'll preach an hour, all right? But I want you to notice something with me. Chapter 3, verse number 14, God curses the serpent. Chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, God curses man. He curses Adam and Eve and the curses upon them. But if you'll note in your Bible, there is a verse between verse 14 and verse 16. That is verse 15. Listen to what the Bible said in verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I don't have time to preach all this. That is the first promise of Jesus coming on Calvary. It was the heel of God or the heel of Jesus that bruised the head of Satan on Calvary that day. And before the curse of man comes in verse number 16, oh yes, good neighbor, God promises the cure for the curse, which is Jesus, before he ever curses mankind. Nowhere do you find does he promise a cure for Satan, because there is no cure for Satan. He's already rejected God and been kicked out of heaven and now is in hell. Oh, but before he ever curses mankind in verse 16 and 17, in verse 15, he says, I promise you there is a cure for this, and the day is coming that Jesus will bruise the head of the serpent with his heel. Amen. The effects of sin, I told you I can't stay there, I'll preach all night, but that will help you if you'll get a hold of it. So the effects of sin is that damnation was brought upon all of the earth, and man is going to return to the earth because of that. I thought about this. All the creation, the animal kingdom, the vegetable kingdom, the human race, and the ground itself are still under the effects of the curse today. In Romans 6, and I've already said this, verse number 23, says, for the wages of sin is death. The rest of you can't stop there, okay? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The effects of sin. The scripture teach us that there are three things that sin will do. Watch this. James 1:15, sin will lead you on. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin will lead you on. Number two, sin will find you out. The Bible said this in Numbers 32:23, and be sure your sins will find you out. Sin will lead you on, sin will find you out, and sin will pay you off. For the wages of sin, the payment for sin, is death. I thought about this. It has been said that sin will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you more than you want to pay. Boy, how true that statement is tonight. How true, sin will take you further than you want to go. You know what? If you was to go to the drug rehab shelter tonight, those men or those ladies would never say that the very first time they took of that drug that they was planning on being where they're at tonight. But what happened, sin took them further than they wanted to go. It kept them longer than they wanted to stay, and it's definitely costed them more than they wanted to pay. The effects of sin tonight. I thought about this. Whenever you study the Word of God, Olivia, will you go get me a bottle of water out of the hospitality room? I thought about this when you study the Word of God. Isaiah 59, when you get home tonight, read Isaiah 59, 1 through 15. There's a good picture of what sin does to the life of the believer. Just because we're saved does not mean that we live above sin. We still sin every day, and we must get that sin out of our life. The effects of sin on the believer, I'll just throw this out. If you want to write it down, or if you don't, I promise you I'm coming back to you, and I'm going to preach this right here. I'm just working it out right now. In Isaiah 59, sin separates in verse number 2. It will separate a man from his Creator. It'll separate a man from his church. It'll separate a man from his companion, and it'll separate a man from his children. Sin always separates. Sin always steals. It will steal your peace. It will steal your perception, and it will steal your power. Sin always scars. It will scar your character. It will scar your conscience. It will scar your career, and it will scar your children tonight. Yesterday, I was sitting at a place, and we was talking about that, and we was talking about how sin will scar children, and how children are having to deal with things mentally and physically because of the sin of a parent. Because of a parent doing things to them that should have never been done to them. All of that, we can say they're sick in the mind. I agree with you, but you know what that sickness is? It's sin. Sin always scars tonight. Sin always steals. Sin always separates. I thought about this. I'll give you one more. I see the entrance of sin. I see the effects of sin. And you said, preacher, it's Wednesday night. Why in the world deal with something like this? Because we need to be reminded of it. We need to be reminded of it, man. I thought about this today. We're actually late last night. I was up here late last night studying on this. And I thought about this. It was quiet in here with nobody else around here. It's dark outside. Majority of everybody was already in bed asleep probably. I was up here studying. I thought about this. If Satan could convince Adam and Eve to sin, why do we think that we'll not sin? And I thought about this. Satan was an angel in heaven at one point in time. You that knows the Word of God knows that. And while he was in heaven, he came up against God and wanted the power that God had. And God said, no, you're not going to get that. And God cast him out of heaven and prepared hell for the devil and his angels. Hell was never prepared for you and me. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. Watch this. The devil and his angels. If the devil was good enough while he was in heaven to convince some of the other angels in heaven to follow him into hell, why do you think you're a match for him tonight? Why do we think we're a match for him now? I mean, we can talk about David being a man after God's own heart, but let's go past that to Adam and Eve living in a perfect world. Let's go past that to the throne of God and angels in heaven, and he pulled them out of it. Sin will affect you tonight. I promise you it will affect the entrance of sin, the effects of sin. But watch this, the escape of our sin. Man has tried many different ways to deliver himself from the bondage of sin. But none of them have ever proven to be successful in his own self. There's nothing you and I can do within ourself to get us out of the bondage of sin. It has to go beyond that. I want to read you something in closing tonight. I read this week, and I just copy and pasted it into my outline. I want you to hear it tonight. There is only one place to find real freedom. In John 8:32, our Lord said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In order for one to escape from the prison of sin, There has to be a door. In John 1:9, Jesus said, I am the door. A door is no good until it is hung. So God hung his door and swung it wide open upon Calvary's cross. Through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, God has provided a door of escape and for every human being so that we now can escape the prison of sin. The door of escape is available to every sinner through the gospel of Jesus Christ and the grace of God. The gospel of Christ and the grace of God are on two hinges, or are the two hinges upon which the door of escape swings open to the sinner who is bound in sin's prison. The grace of God rides upon the wings of the gospel message. There will never be any grace experienced where there is no gospel preached, but with the preaching of the gospel of God, it releases the power to set men free from the bondage of sin. Paul said this in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." We also find in Romans 5:20, "But where sin abound, grace did much more abound." I'm glad that there are no prison bars of sin so strong that the grace of God cannot break them open and set the captive free. You say, "Preacher, what is the escape of sin?" The escape of sin is Jesus Christ. You say, "Preacher, what is the escape from the damnation of sin?" It's Jesus Christ. Amen, it's Jesus Christ. Listen to this verse, and I'll give it to you in closing. Madeline, will you come start playing softly? The Bible said this in 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3, verse number 4. The Bible said this, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." In other words, it is going against the law. That's not the law of our day that the law enforcement and a judge here executes. No, that is the law of God. And he's saying that if we go against, if we transgression of the law, if we trespass the law, if we go against the law, then we sin. Can I say something to you tonight? Every one of us sitting in this room has done that. Every one of us has done that. And you know what that means? It means we've sinned. The Bible said this in verse number 5. "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him." You know what he said? Here's what he's saying to us tonight. Escape and sin. When we abide in him, and that's not dealing with us going in and out of our salvation. It's not what that's talking about. When we are abiding in him, what did he say? He said to what? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you'll what? You'll not fulfill the lust of what? The lust of the flesh. You hear me tell you the reason we fulfill the lust of the flesh? Because we're not walking in the Spirit. You hear me tell you, my Pa Barker said this years ago, and I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. My Pa Barker said this years ago. He said, we was talking one day, and I hadn't been preaching no time, and here's what he said. He said, "Son," he said, "I can't tell you the last time I willfully sinned." And whenever he said that, I thought, well, I wasn't going to argue with him. I knew better than to argue with him. But when he said that, I thought, what in the world is he saying? He's saying that he's not sinning. We all sin. So I come home and I begin to think about that. There's a difference in sinning and willfully sinning. Here's what he was saying. I can't tell you the last time that I just went out and indulged in sin. I just went out and indulged in sin. Therefore, to him that knoweth do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. If we know that there's times that we should button our lips instead of opening our mouth, but we don't button our lips, then we're sinning. These six things does God hate. Yea, seven's an abomination. That seventh one is he that soweth discord among the brethren. We know we're not supposed to do that, but if Olivia runs her mouth about Ella, guess what? She sinned. Him that knoweth do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. He said, I can't remember the last time she willfully sinned in doing that. She knew it was wrong, but willfully sinning. Here's what he's saying. If we will abide in the Spirit, if we will walk in the Spirit, if we will abide in Him, then we're not going to have those days of willfully sinning. The escape of it is this, that we abide in Christ. When we fall to temptation, then we are sinning. So preach, how do I not do that? We have to abide in Christ. We have to, Brother David Williams, give the best illustration on temptation of the day that I've ever seen given or ever heard given. And here's what he said. He said, Satan's not interested in you. He's interested in who's living in you. And that's God. Satan's not interested in getting you to bow to him. He's interested in getting God to bow to him. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Amen. I'm talking about how to get past sin. Whenever I got saved, the Holy Spirit, we just studied him, third person of the Godhead, moved into my life. And here's what Brother David said, preaching to our young people. He said, when I bow to temptation and fall to temptation, it's Satan accomplishing what he wanted at the very beginning, and that was God bowing to him. And when we, boy, I wish somebody hear the preacher tonight, when we bow to temptation and willfully sinning, you know what's happening? God is bowing to Satan. That's what he's interested in tonight. You say, how do I escape that? By walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. By abiding in Him. He that abideth in me sinneth not. That's the way we do it tonight. The doctrine of sin. I'm going to tell you something. I didn't plan on saying any of that that Brother David had said tonight in the message. But I'm going to tell you something. Next time you're tempted, you think about that. Next time you're tempted, you think about that. Hey, young person, next time you're tempted to do something that Scripture says wrong, you think about that. If you're saved, you're bowing God to temptation. And through you, God is bowing to Satan. That's right tonight. I'm telling you, that's right, because he moved in us. Amen. Amen. You said, preacher, I don't want to bow to sin. We don't have to. We don't have to fulfill the lust thereof. We don't have to live a life of sin. Sin is bondage. We don't have to walk around in that. We're free in Christ. Man, go home and study Romans 5, 6, and 7. Go home. I died to sin the day I got saved. Go home and study Romans 5, 6, and 7. We sin because we want to. It's quiet tonight, but it's right. We sin because we want to. That's the reason we sin. We don't have to. We want to. It's our nature. It's the reason we must walk in the Spirit. Amen. Father.